up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 135, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going, with me today is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much. How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good, man. It's a beautiful day. I think spring is finally upon us, possibly.
Maybe. I think the whole country is like behind this year.
So it's been really nice here. It looked like it was really nice up in Michigan for you, so
yeah, it's about 80 and blue skies.
Yeah, and so we're inside doing a podcast when it's beautiful out. But I did want to tell you guys, we're changing the day of the podcast. So today is Tuesday, so we'll typically record Monday or Tuesday, and then release the podcast either Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. I don't know, Derek and I feel this gives us kind of the weekend to actually go outside and do fun things. So
it's just easier to schedule. I mean, mostly Bob is like just good to go, but like I have a traditional work schedule. So for me, it's easy to just roll home and do the podcast after I've already been working. Whereas a weekend, you kind of have to like plan that and stuff and fit it in. So
yeah, so that's the little change. So if you guys were wondering where the podcast was, you know, Sunday or Monday, it's going to come out Tuesday or Wednesday now. But let's jump into our reviews this week. And we have two cases this week that are very similar in their feature set. So the first one is the Silverstone Primera PM02. And this is a case we got a little sneak peek of at CES. And this is sort of, I want to call it their more entry-level case, but the price range kind of puts it out of a more entry-level case. It's $140, which we'll talk about in a little bit. This is sort of a new design from Silverstone. And one thing that I do like on this case is the high airflow in the front. We've seen so many cases with tempered glass panels there or something or another where we have no airflow. And of course, air flowing into the case is extremely important. The system that I have here does not have great airflow into the case, and it causes a lot of your components to run hotter than they should. So you have that there. You have a tempered glass side panel on this. This is a mid tower, fits ATX motherboards, and it has this cool little lighting effect right under the front bezel there that illuminates the Silverstone logo. I think that's really cool. I think with some hacking, you can kind of get it to display, you know, if you 3D printed something or made your own piece of acrylic to put on there. I believe you can remove it and make it say something else, which I think is cool.
On the shroud?
No, I'm talking about if you go to page 4 of the review, you can see the little lighted. It's right under the front part of the I believe you can
it's just like a filter thing sheet.
Yeah, basically. I think that's pretty cool. I think that they don't provide 3D printed plans for this, which would have been nice to have. I think you could do it yourself.
I imagine it wouldn't be very difficult.
Yeah, and I imagine it's just up in the bezel there that you can take it off.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty cool. But besides that, the case is pretty plain design. So you have a two-compartment design, which is, this is kind of like the basic design we're seeing now. Two main compartments with the power supply cover. This power supply cover goes all the way to the front, although it does have a cutout for the fans, or if you wanted to do, you know, a radiator in the front, you can go ahead and do that. One thing I do like about this case, besides the great airflow, is it does come with four fans included. So you have three in the front and one in the rear. I think that's a pretty good value, but not based on the price again. I think we haven't seen a lot of cases come with four fans in a long time. I'm trying to think of the last one that really did come with four fans.
Yeah, they used to be the big thing was they would upgrade the fans, but it seems like maybe we've traded fans for tempered glass panels.
I mean, we're seeing a lot of that these days. But I think the case looks nice. This is the white version. I believe it comes in black as well. And installation was quite easy for Ryan, who did this review. And as it should be, I think we come to the point in cases where we don't see a lot of things. You
shouldn't be struggling.
Yeah, you shouldn't be struggling with case installation and all that. And his build went together quite well in there. And again, you do have the high airflow, but I can't get over the price. I mean, $140 is well over what I would pay for something like this. One, it doesn't, the design doesn't, you know, scream out to me like anything like this is really crazy or cool. Two, you only have one glass panel. You know, I could see if you had the top and the front, that could sort of justify it. I do like the four fans, but again, they're not RGB fans or anything like, you know, popular that we've seen.
There's no case lighting other than the front panel.
Yeah. You know, so I think I would do $99 for this case. I think that's where I sit on this case. Maybe $119 because of the four fans, but I think that's as high as I would go with this case.
I think $100.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, it's not a super large case for one thing. It's mid tower, like squarely in mid tower, but it's not even a large mid tower. So like, you're not even getting real estate for all that, for those dollars. And feature wise, it just doesn't offer much of anything, really.
Yeah,
it does a lot, but it's not like there's nothing unique about it.
Yeah, it's
little, I should say, little unique about it.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that I'm seeing that really makes it something that's worth the $140 price point, in my opinion. It's a pretty basic design. We do see some cool features in the front, I think, it's different and something we haven't seen, but it's just not a case for me. I don't know.
It's fine. It's fine looking, right? It's not going out. It's not out there in that it's not ugly or anything. It's a good looking case, you might even say, but like, it's not $140 worth of case.
Yeah, yeah, I think if this was $99, I would be more for it. It does have one thing that we don't see a whole lot. It does have the USB Type-C on the top panel, which is something we're still not seeing a whole lot of. So that's cool. But again, that doesn't justify the price.
I don't see a lot of cost justification in that.
Yeah, there's no... I think the biggest thing with this case, it needs to be $99, even $89 possibly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think of NZXT cases, and I think of Corsair cases and those price ranges, and I just don't, this isn't competing.
Yeah, it's not. So we'll talk about the second case, which is very similar in design. So this is the Fractal Design Meshify C, and this is a new series that Fractal Design has recently come out with, and the whole idea is that all mesh fronts, the high airflow, again, so many cases have come out that don't have high airflow, and this is one case that will. And this is pretty much not the same design, but the same type of design as the Silverstone case. You have a mid tower with a tempered glass side panel, high airflow, dual compartment design. Now, this one is a little bit smaller. This is a very small mid tower. It is one thing I found out, it will just fit ATX motherboard. So like, I have an oversized ATX motherboard, the Aorus Z270X Gaming 9, which is an ATX motherboard, but it's oversized. It's a little bit bigger, and that won't even fit in this case because of the internal design. But this one, I like the mesh front. It's different. It kind of has this sort of like 3D kind of thing going on that looks really cool. I actually think it's one of the more interesting things we've seen on a mesh front panel.
Those angles do actually pop out, right? Like,
yes,
it's not just a trick of the eyes.
And Fractal Design says the angular mesh maximizes airflow. I don't know if that's true, but it very well might. But at the end of the day, I think it looks cool, and I think it's something that they were able to do without adding a whole lot of cost, I don't think.
I imagine you just stick that in that panel in a press, and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's really cool. You know, again, this is an ATX case, so you can pretty much fit anything inside. I didn't have any clearance issues with graphics cards. Of course, we don't have any 5 1/4 inch drive base, just like all new cases. So you don't have to worry about that. The tempered glass panel is very dark. They actually released another version that doesn't have as dark of a panel.
Okay.
So you can kind of choose. If you want the really dark one, you're going to need some lights inside to really light it up. I have a picture on page 4 towards the bottom that shows, even with a lighted graphics card and the NZXT X52 lit up the pump block, it's still completely dark in there. I mean, yeah. It is a very dark panel there. The installation of everything went without a hitch. They have a mount on the back that supports 3 SSDs, plus you have a hard drive cage that supports 2 more hard drives. So a total of 5 hard drives you can get in here. Like I said, installation went, without a hitch, really. And it's just a small case, too. I like it because you can build a full system, but in a smaller form factor, something that you can easily pick up. And I think it looks really good sitting on your desk, especially with that angular mesh. I think it looks pretty cool there. And this one is $89.99. So big difference, but you only have 2 fans. You don't get the 4. I think 2 fans is a good starting point for any case. I think that's,
I think you throw in a third and you're good. Plus you've got an all-in-one cooler, which I think most people are going that route these days anyway. So you're going to get more airflow from those 2 fans on your radiator anyways.
Yeah. So I think that, I think this price is justified. I think that it's a great case to build in. And I think that, you can, if you're not going completely overboard, like you're not doing multiple, you can do multiple graphics cards in here, but I feel that it's just a little small.
Almost no one does anymore.
Yeah, but if you are, or you're doing over the top water cooling, this wouldn't be the case to do it in.
But you could still do some.
You could still do some, for sure. Definitely. But I think this is a great system for builders. It's a good size. It's easy to build in. It fits up to ATX motherboard. So again, if you're not doing an enthusiast board that's a little bit bigger, you'll have no problems. You have more than enough room for 3 SSDs. And I can't, just think about if you're doing M.2s, you don't even have to, take that into consideration either. It's a good case. I really liked it. Really well done. And they released a mini version that I believe is micro ATX 2. And there might be an ITX 1 coming. So I think they're going to stick with this Meshify, this series of cases. Yeah. Yeah. So very cool case. Definitely check out that review. I think I would highly recommend it for anyone doing a new build. And our last product, which is a product that I really got to test, and it's really good to get a product that, that's more of an outdoor product and you do really get to test. And this was the Braven Ready Solo. And this is a waterproof Bluetooth speaker. And as I said at the end of last week's podcast, that I was able to take it with me to Mexico and really test it on the beach, in the pool, all that kind of stuff. And it survived. A lot of times we see things that are coined as waterproof or something like that, and they're not. And when you get them in water, while they might survive splashes, when you actually dunk them in water, they die. This was not the case. I was a little scared the first time I dunked it, but I completely dunked it in water, and it did survive. This has an IP68 waterproof and dustproof rating, which means it can survive in up to 3 feet of water for 30 minutes. And that also means the big thing with this speaker that I talk about in the review, is saying this is like the ultimate speaker for summer, is that it has the dustproof as well. And that includes sand. So, you can take this and you can throw it on the, just throw it in the sand on the beach and play music. And then at the end of the day, because it's waterproof, when you get off the beach, there's like those, showers where you can, wash your feet off and stuff. You can just wash the speaker off and get all the sand out of it. Nice. And you're good to go. The sound is really good. It has a really good bass. You can really be bumping some sound. I didn't have any issues with sound or anything like that. I felt it was a good sound, a very loud sound too. So if you're using this inside bedroom, office, kitchen, anything like that, it's more than powerful enough to be used there. It does have a rugged design too, so if you're going to drop it, it's not going to crack or break. I feel that it was really well protected. And the one good thing about it is that it does float. Not for the reason of being a floating speaker. So we've seen speakers, there's a couple companies that make ones that are like made to be floating, right? Yeah. this is not really made to be floating because the weight of it actually puts it sideways. So the speaker's not facing up, it's facing into the water and it's going to get distorted. But the reason for this is that say you're on a boat, say you're, you know, somewhere, or even say, you know, say you're somewhere like on the lake and this falls in, most speakers are going to go to the bottom and you're never going to find them, right? But with this, if it falls in, it does float, so you can pick it up. I think that's a really cool feature. Again, it's not designed to be a floating speaker by any means. You can use it that way, but your sound's going to be distorted because of the water. But I think that's just such a great feature that it just saves this because, you know, it's summertime. We're drinking cocktails. You know, people get clumsy and knock things over, and this could be one of those things. And it's just like, I've seen so many people lose phones in the river, in the lake, that this is just one of the things that I think that it's just a great thing to have for the speaker. So I think that just really makes it more or less the ultimate speaker for summer. And it does have a like the battery built in allows you to charge your smartphone as well. So, you know, if you have the speaker with you, you have an extra battery with you to keep your, you know, smartphone going as well. And the price isn't bad. It's $100. I feel with the being waterproof and all that kind of stuff, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth that price point. And it's just a great overall speaker. I really, there really wasn't much I found bad about. The only thing I found really interesting is that Braven didn't really list like what's inside, like the actual speakers. All the, like the technical data is not listed on the website or anywhere. So that's just, I found that weird, but it doesn't take away from the product. I think it's a great product. And one that I would highly recommend. If you're looking for a Bluetooth speaker for this summer, this is, and it's one thing that I also talked about being a good summer Bluetooth speaker is that it's not overly large. So, you know, this is something you can easily throw in your backpack or bag or, you know, your tote that people have for going out and during the summer. So this is just like that perfect size too. So I think all the, everything combined, it is the perfect speaker for summer. So definitely check that out. I would definitely pick one up. If you're doing anything outside and you want some music to share with your friends, this is the way to do it. So very cool. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday, which of course is where we cover a build or mod that's been done in the community. And this week we have a build called the Auris Golden Age. And this is done inside the Fantex Shift case, not the Shift X. This is the smaller one. And you've had experience with the Shift X, which is the larger one. And this build is quite good for the small amount of space that you have in these cases, I feel.
Yeah, they packed a lot in here, but the nice thing about the design of the case is that it does put that graphics card on the backside of the motherboard, and that really frees up a lot of space, especially when it comes to water cooling. It doesn't force you to make a lot of difficult connections. So this actually, I think that the case design lends itself to doing a build like this. In fact, I think that this is basically these type of builds. This is what Fantex had in mind when they designed this case. So, yeah, it really comes off well, but definitely had to do a bit of design work to get everything to fit into here. It's a little crowded.
It is.
They did a good job with it, but it's definitely a little bit crowded, especially on the motherboard side. The pump with the reservoir sitting on top, I feel like that's about the smallest res you can get is one of those. It's a small hex bits power res, but it just it takes up a lot of space.
It does. It definitely takes up some space. That kind of takes away. I like that it's being displayed though. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
And I love the Auris logo on the front.
Yeah.
Of this case, I think the besides this and the Republic of Gamers logo, I think those are the two coolest logos we have out there right now when it comes to. PC components, and then all of the gold inlay he did on the case, I think looks really good too.
Yeah, it looks nice.
And he matches
the fittings, yeah.
Yeah, matched it with the gold fittings. And one thing that's really cool on this build is that it features, he's calling it the world's first transparent water block, and it's developed by him, this builder. I'm not going to try to say his name. We have it listed there. But if you look, we have a close up of the water block, and I think that looks pretty cool. I've never seen one that's completely clear like that. I'm not sure how exactly it's being cool because there's no
like channels.
Yeah, so it's a little interesting.
And how is it passing heat? Because you're not gonna pass anything through acrylic.
Yeah, so that's
interesting.
Yeah, I found it cool. I think it's cool. I really think it's cool that people are developing these things. Like, this is a modder developing this product, right? And we saw, was it last week or the week before
the Kickstarter. I forget the name of that project, but. Yeah, the lidless delidded direct contact block. Yeah.
Yes.
That thing was pretty sweet. I see what he's got going on here with it though. If you look real close, it looks like there is a metal frame in the very center around the edges, and then there is a seal, and that seal seals onto the edge of the top of the CPU heat spreader.
Okay. Yeah. I see. I do see that.
See that now? Yeah. I would never use this block. It's pretty cool, but you are relying on that seal right there and
the whole,
nothing
to
shift, nothing to move at all.
That's interesting. It would be cool to see the design of this. I looked at his Facebook page, which we have linked there, briefly. I didn't see anything on it, but it's pretty cool.
It's very cool. It's just sketchy.
Yeah, it's So
he did the Alienware one as well. Okay.
He did do the Alienware one?
Yeah, the Shift-X version. Yep.
That's nice. Cool. I like this one better than that one.
The work is more detailed in this one.
Yes, that's what I'm a fan of. And I love the RGBs because I'm an RGB guy. So. So definitely check out this build. I really, really like it. I think this is the first Shift build we feature. We featured the Shift-X I think twice now. So this is the first Fantech Shift build we featured, so definitely check this one out, especially if you're a fan of Aorus, you definitely want to check it out.
Yes.
And that brings us to news in this past week, and there's some interesting things going on at Intel. I just have to say that. So first up, AMD Ryzen architect Jim Keller joins Intel. So Jim worked on the initial Zen architecture, and then when it was released, he joined Tesla for a little bit to work on self-driving cars, and now he joins Raja Koduri at Intel. That's a pretty big deal. It seems as if, and we'll talk about the next person who we talked about leaving AMD, and now he is officially at Intel as well. It seems like Raja is building a team. Intel is building a team for discrete graphics.
But what does that have to do with this?
You know,
I mean, they're obviously, they're really discrete graphics. They're definitely going to be making a punch there, but this is CPU.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not specifically sure what he did with Zen. I didn't really look into it, but it looks like, you know, he's building a team of people. Raja's building a team of people that it can bring out this product, whatever this product may be. Most people think it's going to be discrete graphics, and not only in the consumer space, but in the enterprise AI. That's where most of the money's at. Money's in the AI and the enterprise. That's where, you know, definitely, companies are buying tons of these cards.
That's what makes this investment totally worth it.
Yeah. So he was the one big hire, and the second one, which we talked about his departure from AMD, is Chris Hook, and he was the AMD Radeon Technologies Group marketing head, and he departed a couple weeks ago, and there was so many rumors about him joining Intel as well, and he's going to be the head of discrete graphics marketing at Intel now.
I don't know if this was, I mean, marketing wise, I don't know.
Here's the interesting thing that I've been thinking about over the past couple days. Okay. It's like Intel wants to make this move into discrete graphics, but you're hiring people from basically the number two.
Kind of a failed division.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're gonna make it cut and dry, like, there's nothing from AMD GPU has done anything, right?
And I don't think they can't use the tech. I mean,
no.
AMD owns the tech, so you know, you're building this team of people who basically all ran or worked with an AMD in the Radeon Technologies group. So on the marketing standpoint, I don't feel they did that great. From a performance standpoint, we know they didn't do that great against NVIDIA. So are they just picking people because there's nobody else out there that can do this?
I mean, yeah, like where else do you get them from? There are no other competitors other than former NVIDIA employees, which NVIDIA is probably making their contracts really, really comfortable right now.
Yeah, and what the big thing that I have to think about is, you know, Raja was head of Radeon Technologies Group, which is a very prestigious title and everything like that. Besides money, because I don't think at this point, you know, when you're head of the RTG, you're making well over six figures, right?
Yes.
So money, I don't think, is that big of a thing. What did Intel do to get him to leave?
I think money actually is somewhat of a deal for this, for these guys. I mean, it's building wealth at this point.
I think one of the big things could be is like Intel's like, hey, we're building something brand new from the ground up, and I think a lot of people want to be part of that. If you look at the story behind Ryzen in general, that's why it did so well, is because so many great people joined the team to build Ryzen from the ground up.
To build a new thing.
Yeah, so I think that,
and this is a brand new team, so
yeah, and it's Intel. It's the big guy. It's not,
you know,
like
there's money there.
Yeah, you know you're not going to run out of R&D or whatever it may be. So
you'll have what you need.
It's so interesting. It's like all these people are leaving AMD. It makes you wonder what the culture there is like. You know, and then basically it seems as if Raja's hiring all the people that he previously worked with or that he knew would be a good fit, and obviously most of them are coming from AMD. So it's going to be interesting to see. I don't think we'll see anything for at least a year on this. You know, we won't see physical products yet for a long time. But I think that, you know, maybe this time next year we can be talking about Intel as a player here. Only in the you know, the high-end AI space, but hopefully, I would hope in the consumer space as well.
Yeah, I think we would start seeing at least some product demos. But going from the ground up, it probably is going to be slow going from the start here. Especially since they're going to, I mean, they're going to have to invent their own technologies in a way. I don't know how deep the patents go on some of that stuff, like what base level graphics processing you have access to. But there's going to be a lot of things that are, I mean, you've got, these AMD and NVIDIA have been in this market for a long time. They've been patenting quite a few ideas.
The only thing that Intel has is they do have their technology that powers the discrete graphics in their chips.
You're talking about the direct on die parts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. They do have the technology and the patents that go along with whatever that may be. But I think that they're definitely building something new and something, it's exciting. I think it's exciting for all of us because we've had two players. Hopefully we'll have three in a year, 2 years consumer market.
There's potential for them to be taking GPU technology and like actually creating something new that's like fundamentally different and substantially faster.
And the thing that I like about this is that it pushes the market that way when products are done and ready that we know from, say, NVIDIA that aren't released yet because they don't need to be out, this gives the competition. I mean, look how fast Intel put out a 6-core part, you know, Ryzen was released. I mean, you know,
They're still reeling from all that. They're still playing catch up.
The competition in the marketplace is so good for us consumers. So I'm excited. To see what this team does and what they're able to accomplish. I mean, it seems like they're bringing together a lot of great people. So we'll see how that all goes.
Yeah, so long as it's not like lost within the company, which I don't see because, as you said, Intel has such a huge, is just such a huge resource financially and with people as well, that it shouldn't, like, I think that AMD buying ATI, it was too big for them to properly fund. And that's the reason why we haven't seen anything like significant or decent come out from AMD Radeon Technologies since that purchase, really. And I don't think that Intel, they probably have the base that they can actually, you know, keep this department propped up.
Yeah.
And operating properly.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting. I'm pumped for it. I know it's going to be a while, but I'm, you know. Yeah. And like obviously any news we have on this development and more people joining the team, we'll definitely be sure to let you know. But we'll switch gears from GPU stuff to CPU stuff. And, you know, this past week or 2 weeks ago, AMD released their second generation Ryzen chips. And we only had four of these chips, but model numbers were actually leaked by AMD. Yeah. And then they took the page down of upcoming second generation Ryzen products. So we're going to start up top, which a lot of people are excited about, in the Threadripper section. So we will have a Ryzen Threadripper 2900X, a Ryzen Threadripper 2920X, and a Ryzen Threadripper 2950X, which will, of course, be the top dog there. These will, of course, exceed the Threadripper 1900X, Threadripper 1920X, and Threadripper 1950X. We're expecting, we don't know, but we should expect increased clocks and some of the new features that we're going to see in the Zen Plus architecture with these. So all of you high-end desktop fans looking for second-generation Threadripper, it is coming. We don't know dates, but it should be soon.
Yeah.
And then the Ryzen 5 2000 series will get a Ryzen 5 2500X. And this will be a four core, 8-thread chip that will have higher clock speeds and L3 cache than the current Ryzen 5 2400G. And we will see Ryzen 3 desktop chips based on Zen Plus or Pinnacle Ridge. These chips will include the Ryzen 3 2100. Ryzen 3 2300X, just the Ryzen 3 2100, sorry, and the Ryzen 3 2300X, and these will be quad-core parts, but no SMT there, and of course, these will succeed the previous Ryzen 3 parts, and there will be mobile parts for ultra-portable notebooks, so ultrabooks and things like that. You'll see it's not ultrabooks, that's an Intel spec, but small devices like that would be the Ryzen 3 2000U, the Ryzen 5 2600U, and the Ryzen 7 2700U. Interesting that we don't see a 2800X here on these leaked documents.
They're going to hold on to that one until it's too late, and then they don't need it.
Yeah. But it's cool to see one Ryzen 3, the 2000 series of Ryzen 3, which a lot of people have been waiting for. And I think the big thing here is Threadripper, second generation Threadripper is coming.
Yeah.
So for all you high-end desktop guys, that will be coming out. So pretty excited. No word on dates on any of this stuff, but we know these are the official names. And we have the full product, the full product SKUs listed too. So if you guys want to search those and see what else you can find on them, you can do that. Yes. Talking about Ryzen 5, the 2600 was deleted by Debauer, and it's not worth deleting. deleted it on his YouTube channel, and he showed you how he did it with a modified version of his Delid Die Mate 2 tool. And, he deleted it and then replaced the indium solder with thermal grizzly liquid metal. And the only difference is 4 degrees, so I feel it's not worth deleting. Sometimes, especially on Intel chips, if you delete and you replace the solder with the thermal grizzly, you'll get 10 to 15 degrees, which makes a point for actually deleting.
Yeah, that's significant.
Yeah, but here 4 degrees, I think that. One, you're voiding your warranty. Two, you have the possibility, if you don't know what you're doing,
you can kill the chip.
For 4 degrees, I don't feel it's worth it.
It's kind of given away in the thermal material it ships with.
Yes.
The fact that he has to heat it to 170 to 180 degrees Celsius, it kind of like says it all. This is already a decent thermal material.
Yes.
So you probably don't need to replace it. If you heated an Intel part to that, it would probably just fall off.
Yeah. So for sure. So pretty cool to see, though. I always like what he does, and he's cool. What is our next story here? Oh, so we talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about Western Digital releasing their first high-end NVMe drives, the WD Black or WD Pro Black NVMe. Now, Samsung has just announced the brand new 970 Pro and 970 Evo NVMe M.2 SSDs. These will be the new standard from Samsung. Very, very fast speeds here.
The new standard for the industry.
Yes, and these are completely designed all the way in-house, which we saw from Western Digital as well. Mm-hmm. So you have a Samsung controller, you have the Samsung, the newer Samsung V-NAND, and then you have Samsung DRAM on there as well. So everything on this chip is developed by Samsung. Just to give you some quick specs, the 970 Pro, you have read speeds of 3,500 megabytes a second and write speeds of 2,700 megabytes a second. And the Evo has the same read speed of 3,500 megabytes a second, but the write is down to 2,500 megabytes a second. Still super fast.
Yeah, and I think I remembered reading or hearing that the random IOPS are substantially faster on these than the previous generation. So some of the smaller stuff that you don't that aren't the big advertising numbers are much better on these.
Yeah, so you have higher performance levels, and you have a 5-year warranty or 1,200 terabytes written. That's 50% higher than those provided by the previous generation. So these are really built to last. These are, you know, something you could, and the prices, which I believe start at the 250 gig. The 250 gig of the Pro is $329 and of the Evo is $119. So
it's such a difference between the two series.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But yeah, just these are the new big dogs here. Definitely. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get some of these into review. I want to at least check these guys out. So
it'll be fast.
Yeah. Super, super fast. And then talking about the SSD fronts, the new Intel Optane 905P, which is a PCI Express SSD, kind of showed up on Newegg and has since been deleted, which means it will be coming out. I think somebody hit the gun too early on this. Yeah. But this is the 960 gig Intel Optane PCI Express SSD based on the Intel's 3D XPoint technology. One, the big change with this drive is, one, it's available in 960 gig, which the older Optane 900P was not. And two, this thing is sexy. It has a really cool shroud with blue illumination on it. I check out the pictures. It just looks awesome. Intel can definitely take my money on this. The 960 especially gig the is $1,602. That's what it was listed for on Newegg. Very expensive, but incredibly fast.
Yeah, this will be one of the fastest drives you can buy.
Yeah, I believe this will be the fastest drive, consumer drive that you'll be able to purchase.
Yeah.
When it is officially out.
It's odd to me that it's only 960 gigs is the largest version, because we're seeing so many bigger drives.
Yeah, and that was the big complaint, especially for consumers who like, or not consumers, enthusiasts, especially enthusiasts and gamers who want this for their game drive. You know, the Optane 900P, which when it came out, it was only 280 and 480 gigabyte versions. Where we will have a 960 here, which will be good for a game drive for 4 or 5 games, depending on what games you play. Very cool. It looks sexy. Like, this is something you want to show off in a build too. I think it looks awesome.
Oh yeah, that looks great.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm super pumped for that. Talking about, not as much SSDs, but DRAM, a class action lawsuit has been filed against Samsung, Micron, and Hynix for DRAM price fixing. We talked about this all the end of last year into this year, saying buy your SSD now, buy your DRAM now, because the prices are going to skyrocket. And they did on both of those types of products.
And everything. And,
yeah, on pretty much everything, the prices went crazy. A class action lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court of Northern California, and it says that these three companies conspired to limit the supply of DRAM chips between 2016 and 2017 for the purpose, of course, inflating prices. And the DRAM prices saw a 47% increase in 2017, which is the largest jump ever in the past 30 years.
And it's unnatural as well.
Yes.
You should be seeing that price drop.
Samsung, Micron, and Hynix collectively own 96% of the worldwide DRAM market. And this shortage or the way the companies were acting was all the same. And then it finally changed abruptly when the Chinese government launched an investigation into the matter. The class action is open to consumers in the U.S. who have purchased devices that use DRAM between July 1st, 2016 and February 1st, 2018. Now, this includes at least, I went to the website for the class action.
Yeah.
And it says smartphone or DRAM. It doesn't say, I don't know, like, because it says, did you purchase a smartphone or computer? But I don't know if that includes, like, if I bought some memory. Like, oh, yeah. I'm not definitely sure.
Definitely.
I didn't read the fine print, but, like, on the actual page it says, do you purchase a smartphone or computer from 2016 to 2017, blah blah blah, and then you know to put in your information, it allows you to enter the product name, the model number, the city of purchase, and all that stuff. So I would assume this would, you know, obviously this includes smartphones, obviously this includes computers, but I'm not sure if it includes specific, if I bought a RAM kit, does that?
Yeah, no, when it says computer,
it means
a RAM kit. I mean, DRAM is just the base for all RAM, so.
And what's interesting is this is not the first time these three companies have got hit with an antitrust. That happened back in 2006, I believe, and they were ordered to pay over $768 million or something like that. You probably won't get much, $5, $10, which usually we see with these class actions. Fill it up.
So you get your $5, $10, so they have to.
Yeah. Pay. Yeah. I think a lot of people saw this coming. The price hike was crazy. We saw DDR4 kits that were $150 that went up to $300 easily, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Worst pricing than basically we've ever seen as enthusiasts.
Yeah, and then that came at the same time we saw the graphics card hike. So it was just really hard to build a PC.
It really has been a rough time for us, hasn't it?
It definitely has. It definitely has. So,
and in spite of that, PC gaming grows.
Yes. And talking about PC gaming, that's a great lead into our next story. It looks like Corsair, who originally only made DRAM, will now be developing gaming monitors. And I think this is great. I think Corsair has really got into the gaming market. Almost everybody I know either has a Corsair mouse, a Corsair headset, or a Corsair keyboard. They've really kind of took over that gaming accessories market. They really have. And we reviewed a ton of their gaming products, and I think they're really good. So I think that being the brand that they are, they'll release something good in this space. So the reason this all came to light was there was a job listing for a product manager for monitors listed on Indeed.com, which I'm sure you guys have heard. If you listen to Spotify or see YouTube, you see the ads for Indeed, which is a job listing site. It's in its early stages. I don't expect to see anything for a year. But knowing Corsair, we'll see a high-end product launch first. That's what they always do. That $1,000 sweet gaming monitor we might see or something like that. And I assume it's going to have RGBs on it.
It will definitely have RGBs.
Yeah. So, but I think they'll take their time with this, and it will be really cool. I think it will be a cool product when it comes out. So
yeah, the most important thing is just who are they sourcing the panel from?
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of quality are we going to see from it?
Yeah, so I think that's going to be really cool. Talking about something else really cool is that ADATA unveiled their Spectrix D80 DDR4 RGB memory module. We saw a prototype of this at CES. Mm-hmm. It was the memory module that was cooled by Liquid. What they finally come out with, that was a complete prototype.
That was a 3M product, wasn't it?
Yes.
3M some sort of oil.
Yeah, some sort of oil. So this is... the product that's going to come out of that. And this is a hybrid. So you do have the heat sink there, but the inner heat sink is that liquid. And they've made it look pretty cool with the top part being liquid too. And it's RGB. I think they look cool.
3M Novec is the product. And
yes,
I am super surprised to actually see this product hit market. I thought for sure that was just a test.
Especially this soon. We're not,
yeah.
I mean,
especially for May data.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, you know, it's May, it's May 1st.
They're going to have this at Computex.
Yeah.
That's quick. They were. Yeah. They moved quick.
Yeah. So I think it looks awesome. I think that
the whole kit looks really nice.
Yeah. And
I don't know if I would have gone with red. What do you think about the red?
Yeah, I would
it,
like.
It looks
to
fine
see
in these pictures, but like
all that's 888's color. We might see a black one. I would like black to match the black PCB. Like see, yeah. But I think that we haven't seen a whole lot of innovation in the DRAM space as far as like cool heat sinks. I mean, we see the same things. You know, RGB was
feel
the
like
big
we,
thing.
We've gotten less.
Yes,
since 5 years ago, that heat sinks have become more tame.
Right? Yeah.
Other than adding RGBs.
And that has a lot to do with clearance issues, I think. I think when you have a kit that doesn't clear certain things. But I think we were able to do a lot more with a lot of people going the AIO route when it comes to their CPU cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But I think these are going to look awesome.
Yeah.
I
hope that it's not just there for a gimmick. I hope that we see some really high speeds.
Yes.
And that the extra cooling is actually for something. Otherwise, it's just to like say you've got water in
it says 2666 megahertz to 5000 megahertz.
Yeah, 5000 would be quick.
Yeah.
But
so
let's see it when it happens, right?
Yeah, so very cool. It was cool to see the prototype of this not that long ago in January, and now to see the finished product, so very cool. Yes. And that brings us to finally some gaming news. And if you play Fortnite, you know that Season 4 started today, and with that, we have new map locations and the challenges and everything like that. I think the big thing, if you follow Fortnite or you play Fortnite a decent bit, was all the meteors that were hitting, and you weren't sure what was going to happen. A lot of people thought the most active part of the map, which was called Tilted Towers, a lot of people thought that was going to be destroyed by the meteor, but that's not true. It hit Dusty Depot instead and caused this big meteor hole or whatever you want to call it. And a lot of things have changed with the map, and we have the challenges listed there. But the one thing I really want to talk about is these games. You know, I've been playing a lot of Fortnite, and I actually really like the game. But I think this keeps the game going, because I think that if you play the same map over and over again with the same type of thing, it gets boring, right? So doing the seasons, and then I assume every season the map changes a little bit or things get added, I think that keeps people interested. And of course, when you play, you want to explore that new area or see what it's about. And they've added some other cool things that we have in our post here. But I think that's really cool, because I remember playing this, you know, you play games and you play the same map over and over and over again. And it's just like, it gets boring.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's why even PUBG has had new maps. So.
Yeah, so I think that this is really cool. And they made it cool because they're like, yeah, something's getting destroyed. Like, some part of the map that you enjoy playing won't be there.
I think the most interesting thing about it is that you guys were all, like, excitedly talking about this in chat. Like, it was a real-world event. So, like, their marketing was spot on for this one.
Yeah, because you don't know, and like people, all the rumors, it's like one of those big things, you know, whatever it may be. It's like all the rumors were happening, and like I've been playing a lot. I played an hour ago just to check out the new the new locations and some of the new stuff. And
of course,
you know, I think it's just really cool. I think that they've done a really good job. As much as I hated them stop working on Paragon, which I really enjoyed playing, I think this is great for them, and I think that with the popularity of this game just continuing to grow, I think it's pretty awesome. So,
yeah, you gotta do what makes money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
at a certain point. So
yeah. So, but I'm talking about this. We are gonna be planning. I haven't even told you about this yet, Derek. Which I hopefully you'll jump on. But we're going to try to do once a month a gaming night where we're all on Discord, and I'll be streaming. Maybe some other people will be streaming, and we'll be doing giveaways, and we'll be playing, you know, games like Fortnite, but we're playing a bunch of other games. We'll be doing it once a month, and we'll have some prizes for you guys from some pretty cool companies. So it's in the works. No nice. Official details, but that's something that we're working on to, you know, get some gaming and have a night where we all can just hang out and play games. So
cool.
So yeah. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week, and you are taking a look at a all-in-one liquid cooler from RageNTech. I always say their name. I'm never sure if I'm saying their name right.
You are.
It's like RageNTech, RageNTech. I'm not sure. Yeah. But it's the Orcus 240.
Yeah. It's a 240 millimeter liquid cooler. It's got an external pump, which is unique, and it's got a flow meter built into what is the block instead of the pump housing. There's not a whole lot else to get into with it. Check out the review.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty standard stuff otherwise.
Gotcha. It does have RGB fans on it.
It does, yes.
Yes, and it does have RGB fans in it. I will be taking a look at...
I can't believe I forgot that.
You got to tell people about the RGBs.
I guess.
I'll be taking a look at two storage products this week, and the first one is the SanDisk Extreme Portable SSD. So this is SanDisk's ultra portable, very small SSD. So it's a USB 3.1 portable SSD, so you're gonna get super fast speeds, rated for 550 megabytes a second read and 500 megabytes a second write. So super fast, perfect if you're on the go and working on video content. If you're a photographer and you have that Lightroom library, you can store it on this because it's gonna be super fast. Really cool. It's IP55 rated too, so it's a little rugged. It's not completely waterproof. Basically, it can withstand splashes, but you can't submerge it or anything like that. It's a cool little drive. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then we'll be taking a look at the Synology Disk Station DS418 Play. This is a 4-bay network-attached storage device from Synology. Of course, has their really great OS or software for their NASes that makes it extremely easy to use. It's one of the things I think they really bring operating a NAS to like the masses with that product. It's just really easy to use. And this one's called the 418 Play because it has their 4K multimedia server. So basically, it supports a 4K H.264, H.265, and it will transcode it so you can, you know, stream 4K video, and all the transcoding is done on the NAS rather than whatever, you know, you could stream this to.
So you don't need a device to handle the transcoding.
Yeah, so you can stream this to, say, like a stick, like a Fire TV stick or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or straight. Well, I guess, I guess not straight to a TV, but.
Not straight to a TV, but. Plain player. Yeah, something that allows to streaming from network device.
Right.
But you don't need a powerful one, which is great. So if you're, you know, watching 4K media, this does all the transcoding for you. So very cool. Definitely stay tuned for that. And of course, brings us to the end of the podcast. We talk about if we did anything cool or interesting, or, you know, did any nerdy things. Did you do anything cool?
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were asking me or if you were still.
No.
What did I watch? I watched the last Maze Runner movie.
Was that good? I was thinking about watching that and I didn't.
You know, it's been so long because I read the books after the first one came out and I was really into it. The second movie, I remember letting me down. This movie, I like forgot what was supposed to happen and I thought it was actually really, really good.
Nice.
Like actually a really cool movie worth watching.
I will definitely have to check that out. I didn't do a whole lot, really, because I've been working on these reviews and stuff. I did start watching Lost in Space, the Netflix series. You didn't like it?
Oh, yeah. I watched the first two. No, I'm out.
You didn't like it?
Nope, bail.
I like it so far. Dude,
no, can't get into it. It's too cheesy.
It is a little cheesy, I have to say. But it's... I feel it's good enough content to watch. I feel there's so much bad sci-fi content as far as video out there.
I think this is one of them.
I don't know. I'm gonna continue to watch it. I think I'm either two or three episodes in. I think I'm two episodes in. It's just cool to have something sci-fi related that's, at least in my opinion, semi-good. Okay. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I love the sci-fi. I just, it's too much cheese for me. I just couldn't dig it.
Yeah. I still haven't yet to see Ready Player One. I need to go do it. I just haven't had time to really go to the theater.
You're messing around with that garbage and you haven't seen Ready Player One yet.
Come on, man. I've been playing a lot of, we've been playing a lot of Fortnite. Ron and I have jumped on and our buddy Oz have been on a good bit. Gonna set up a stream. Like, hit us up in Discord. We have our Discord. I'll list that. We've been listing that in our show notes as well. So, jump on Discord. You can see we're playing and jump in our games. Derek, we gotta get you on the Fortnite, bro.
I mean, I've got it.
We gotta teach you
how to don't play games.
We gotta teach you how to be good at games for once. You gotta get a good squad going on. So. But no, we'll get some squad games going on, maybe something this weekend with you guys. And we'll definitely let you know when that game night's going to come. There will be giveaways. There will be some cool stuff. And hopefully, depending on how many people we have playing, we'll have some squads and different games and things like that. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. But as always, guys, we have our full show notes page that has all of the stuff that we talked about, all the articles, all the reviews. So you can go ahead and click through and get all of the information there. And, you know, on your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. You should be able to find us. If you don't, shoot us a message and we'll get on whatever that that piece of software is. So until next week, catch you guys later.